Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome to New Creation Realities. And before we continue with our lessons, I just wanted to make a couple announcements. I know it's been a long time since we've had some lessons, but that doesn't mean that I've already recorded them. This is a parallel class that I do with the students in Berea. So what happened because of this whole COVID-19 thing, their semester, they were off for a semester, and then we began doing the classes again, but through Zoom. And so their semester went longer, and it went through our CMI Summer Bible Conference week and a few weeks after that as well. But because of that, during that time, and if you all haven't looked at any of that, of our CMI Summer Bible Conference, I've got it on my webpage, crosseyednid.com. I've got a link to it. You guys can go there. I'm sure you'll be blessed by viewing those videos. But anyway, with the whole Berea class, I had a class during that week, but because of everything else that was going on during the week, which was kind of crazy, not just the Bible conference, but things going on with with the onward push with the house. So a lot was going on. I wasn't able to record the class, and so now I'm going to record it right now. But to try to get caught up before the Berea semester starts again in September, what I'll probably do is after I get this class out there on YouTube, I'll probably start pushing up the other classes like maybe twice a week just to get the whole series from this semester out there. So those were the announcements. And one more announcement. I just wanted to thank everyone who's supported this ministry in whatever way, whichever way possible, both in your prayers and in your love gifts and support. I really appreciate it. And I haven't had a chance to write y'all back, but I've started some some letters that I wanted to print out and send to y'all, but I'm still working on it. But I do appreciate it because the gospel, this eternal gospel, is for every generation. And to me, when I hear of others praying for me, when I hear that you're praying for me and what the Lord has put on my heart, or when you send a love gift or some means of support, that tells me that there are others that want the eternal gospel of Jesus Christ to be heard in this generation as well. And so that's a blessing to me. It's always a blessing to me when I hear of other believers that the Lord is doing a work in their heart to turn their heart unto the Lord. That is an extreme blessing to me. For one, when I was born again, the Lord found me. It was something real happened. I didn't just begin believing some doctrine or some teaching in a church. No, I met the living God in a real way. And so the Lord, he's the one who keeps it real. And everything else is just playing games. So thank you for that. And man, may the Lord just fulfill his heart's desire in our generation and every generation hereafter, just as he has in every generation before. So we're going to continue with our lesson, Let There Be Light. And I'm just going to hit, basically, I'll try to hit everything that I did with the Berea class. And I've got, I don't know if we will or not get through it all, but I've got 11 pages of notes that I've been working on because the Lord just kind of put things on my heart a little differently. And so let me first of all do this real quick here. All right. So, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, everything of God will always serve the purpose of God. Everything of God, everything that God does, everything that God allows, everything that God permits, everything that God creates, even this natural creation, it serves his purpose, brothers and sisters. This natural creation is a testimony of the greater creation the eternal creation, who is Jesus Christ, his Son. And the Holy Spirit always does. Wow, I heard a sound. I don't know about you all, but I heard something go off, some alarm. Who knows? We'll see what happens. See if it goes off again. The Holy Spirit always does the work of the Lord. Always, always. The Holy Spirit always serves the purpose of God. The Holy Spirit always serves the ministry of God. The Holy Spirit is never, listen, is never contrary to the eternal mind, okay? This is the mind of the Spirit. Never contrary to the eternal mind. Everything of man will always serve man's purpose. Everything of man, brothers and sisters, is usually, and I would say for the most part, found below, because it comes from a natural mind, the mind which is attached to the head of the first man, Adam, the natural man, Adam. So everything that is of man will be found below, and you can see it with your eyes, you can hear it with your ears, you can touch it, physically touch it with your hands, and you can understand it with your natural brain, the natural mind, the mind of the first man, Adam, once again. All, and it will always serve that which is of man. Always. Always. There, I thought about it either this morning or yesterday, but I thought about this. There is, believe it or not, there is a Christian, listen, religion of man. There's a Christian religion of man out there, and it is no different than any other religion of man. Now, before you all get upset, God did not send us another religion. No. I know you know this. God sent us his very Son. Remember at the beginning of the lesson when I was just making announcements? At the age of 20, when I was born again, I did not agree to any form of doctrine. I did not check off a list from a church handout that asked me if I wanted to join that particular congregation or fellowship. I didn't do any of that. I didn't agree to a list of tenets or maxims that would better improve me or make me a better person. No, that is not what God has done. That's what man has done. And that's why I say that the Christian religion of man is no different than any other religion. Because all the other religions, they still want to get to their nirvana. They still want to get to their Ethiopia. They still want to get to their heaven. They still want to get to their Shangri-La, you know? They do. But the difference is that God did not send us a better religion. He did not send us a better form of teaching. He did not send us a better doctrine or a better way of living. No. God Almighty sent his only begotten Son. That, my brothers and sisters, is the difference. When by a work of God, a miracle of the Holy Spirit, you are born again, it is a person who is present, not a religion. Even the testimony with marriage, a person can't be married to a driver's license or a passport. That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? A person cannot be married to a religion. Though they may serve a religion, they can't be joined to a religion and bear fruit. It's impossible. They can't be joined to a doctrine or a system of beliefs, a belief system, or a message and bear fruit. That is impossible. The only way to bear fruit is when one is joined to a person. All right, going on. Many versus one. How many denominations are there? And I'm just talking about the, this is the way I say this. I'm just talking about, okay, I'll just say this word. I'm just talking about Christians, right? How many denominations in the world of Christendom are there? I mean, think about it. The denominations, and then you have the sub-denominations, and then you have the micro-denominations, and then, you know, how many denominations are there? A whole lot, a multitude, a myriad. How many gospels are there? And I know we covered this in a previous lesson. One. It is not gospels, plural. It is gospel, one. The gospel according to Matthew. The gospel according to Mark. The gospel according to Luke. The gospel according to John. I can say it this way. Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus Christ according to John. You see it? Because all these four evangelists were beholding the same eternal object, who is a person, not a thing, but an actual person. The gospel is one, because the gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the eternal gospel that declares a son. I just saw this. I usually wear a bracelet. I just noticed I'm not wearing my bracelet. There we go. Now I've got it. All right. Little fashion statement. No, it's not. Okay, let's go on here. Where were we? Yes, the evangelists were looking. Evangelists, the four evangelists, plural, were looking at the same object, the eternal object, the same person who is Jesus Christ himself. There are many and various denominations because man has many and various concepts of the scriptures. God doesn't. Man, listen, this will blow your mind. Man believes in the doctrine of his concept of the scriptures. Man believes in the doctrine of his concept of the scriptures. I remember mentioning this probably several times, but on one of my YouTube videos in Spanish, this one brother, he made a comment, and he, after reading his whole argument and all of his references, and though he took references out of context, verses out of context, and tried to make him say one thing that they weren't saying, the Lord didn't let me correct him or anything like that. I love the Lord for that. I love him for that. He doesn't come, listen, to correct our concept. He comes to direct our heart unto the truth, who is a person. But this brother, his whole issue was, he brought it down to a doctrine of man, Calvinism or Arminianism. Are you saved by works or are you saved by grace alone? That's what he brought it down to. That was his issue. And brothers and sisters, that issue, listen, is found on the earth and has man as its object. That was his doctrine. That's what he pulled out of the scriptures. Or that's what he was taught by someone who pulled it out of the scriptures. So once again, with my comment, man believes the doctrine of his concept of the scriptures. God has no concept of the scriptures. In fact, it is God and God alone who gave us the scriptures, which are a testimony of his beloved Son. That's it. The problem is, we do not see his beloved Son. We see with a natural eye. We hear with a natural ear. We process with our natural mind, our natural brain, which belongs to the first man, Adam. And therefore, my brothers and sisters, according to God and that which is of God, we see nothing. But we have seen something. We have seen our concept, which is nothing less than an idol. Our concept of God, our false image of what we believe God is and what we believe what God is like. That's an idol. And we bow down to our idol and we worship our idol. See, we idolatry is not like my like someone presenting this silver pen and saying, okay, this is your God, now bow down to it. Well, it may have been at one time, but my brothers and sisters, there is a whole lot of idolatry in the church going on to this day, 2020. Because our idols are doctrinal idols. Our doctrine, our teaching, our denomination, we bow down to our concept of God. God has not presented us a concept. Man presents a concept. God does not. God presents His Son. God presents the testimony of His Son found in the Scriptures, that our hearts may turn and come by a work of the Holy Spirit unto His beloved Son. That requires a miracle of God. I was talking to my brother-in-law a few years back, and we were talking about kind of the same thing. And I was just mentioning, you know, you go to one church and you hear one thing, you go to another church, you hear another thing, you go to this other, and Christian churches, Christian Protestant churches, you go to here, you hear one thing, you go here, you hear another, you go here, you hear another. And, you know, maybe if they're in the same denomination, you'll hear the same thing because they have the same, you know, manual for the year, the, what they're going to present during the year. But the thing is, I was like, man, why are they all declaring something different? When you have four evangelists who are completely different persons declaring the exact same person. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the way it is in a church whose heart is submitted unto the work of the Holy Spirit, unto a church whose heart is led by the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit does not teach, listen, excuse me, the Holy Spirit does not lead to a more correct teaching, no. The Holy Spirit does not lead to a more correct doctrine, no. The Holy Spirit leads unto a person, Jesus Christ, the beloved Son, the only begotten of the Father. That's the difference. Religion or a person. That's it. All right. Where were we? Oh, yes. Man believes the doctrine of his concept from the Scriptures. Everything that is of man is mixture. Mixture is basically some of this, some of that, some more of this, some more of that. It's like gumbo. Just toss it all in there. Throw it all in there. Goulash. Toss it all in there. Hey, it's all good. No, with God, it is not all good. There is one good. God is good. And God saw the light that it was good. See, with man, there's a myriad of things, plural. With God, there's always one. And that one is His Son. God only presents one gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, His Son, the good news of a person, the Son of God, the only Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. Now, I know I mentioned this in a previous class, in a previous lesson, that from David onward, the kings were referred to or considered to be Son of God. Like David, you can look at this Psalms 89. We're not going to go into it, but you can check it out. Psalm 89, verses 18 through 37, specifically verses 12 through 20 and verses 26 through 27. It's speaking as though David, you know, in the Psalms is declared to be the Son of God. Well, yeah. I'll touch on that here in a second. And then King Solomon, and onward with King Solomon, 2 Samuel chapter 8. I'm not sure where that chapter is, because I've got 2 Samuel 8 through 16. Maybe it's chapter 8 through chapter 16, or maybe it's verses 8 through 16. I think it's verses 8 through 16. I'll have to correct that, but you can just still check it out. And which speaks of Solomon, he shall build my house, and I will be his father. He shall be my son. And so you've got this, whoa, why is God calling these men his son? Because remember, once again, brothers and sisters, these men that are found in the scriptures that God gave to us, these men are a testimony of his true beloved son, Jesus Christ. So here you have David, who is a testimony of Jesus of Nazareth, a man of blood. And then you have the testimony with Solomon, who is in testimony, the resurrected son, the son in resurrection, the glorified seed who builds God's house. I love this. But they were considered to be the sons of God because it is a testimony of the Son of God. So when Jesus shows up on the scene, when others are declaring, like, Son of David, have mercy on me. Anytime someone declares Jesus as Son of David, what they're declaring is you are the long-awaited Messiah, the expectation of Israel, the King, the Son of God. Now, what makes Jesus different, Jesus of Nazareth different from all the others, is that he is, listen, the only begotten. Jesus is not a testimony, no, brothers and sisters. All that were before him were testimony that testified of he himself. And he himself came. And because the people did not believe the testimony, how could they believe the substance of whom the testimony speaks? That's what it boils down to. They didn't believe the scriptures. Also, this testimony of the Son is seen with Abraham and Isaac, the testimony of the Father and the Son, where God tells Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac. But my brothers and sisters, the greater than Isaac is present in those, in we who are born again. No longer in Adam, going on. We who are born again, who have been born again by the work of the Holy Spirit, we are no longer in Adam. We are no longer in that creation. We are no longer under that condition of death. But now in Christ, the condition of our soul, of us who are born again, is a condition of life because Jesus Christ himself has appeared in our soul. This happened the moment of new birth. God, by his Holy Spirit, has done a miracle. You couldn't do this. I couldn't do this. See, what I can do and what you can do is called dead works, is called religious observances, is called religious effort. It's man's ability. No, by man's ability, no one can be born again. And of those of us who are born again, by man's ability, none can know God. From beginning to end, my brothers and sisters, it requires a miracle of God. A miracle implies that which is impossible with man, that which man cannot do. It will forever be that way. At some point, we will come face to face with that reality, and we will probably fall down on our knees and confess, oh my God, you are truly the Almighty, and I am truly the impotent one who has completely no power whatsoever. Lord willing, by the work of the Holy Spirit, our heart will come to that point. Now, listen, God, by His Holy Spirit, has done a miracle. Listen to the way I say this. The formula, the way of this prayer isn't important. Like, when you came to the Lord, or shall I say, when the Lord by His Spirit brought you unto salvation, there was no specific formula for a prayer that you had to pray. Now, listen to me, brothers and sisters. God is God Almighty. He can use whatever, whenever, however He desires. Hey, if you were in a church service and the preacher or teacher said, I just want, you know, whoever wants to receive the Lord, raise your hand. And if you raise your hand, he said, repeat after me, and you repeated after him, and God did a miracle and you were born again, then praise hallelujah. But see, God knows the heart. God knows what each soul needs. Because man looks on the outward, but God looks on the heart. So if that's how you came to the Lord, and how the Lord brought you by His Spirit unto everything that God ever offered, unto His Son, then praise God. But there is no quote-unquote formula to come to Christ. There is no formula that God uses. God will use whatever, however, whenever He pleases. But He does so with purpose to bring unto the person of His Son, and nothing less. The Holy Spirit has done something in that heart, and God has given the ability in that soul that is completely dead, without ability to hear and without ability to respond. God has performed a miracle so that that soul can hear the voice of the Son of God, and God has given the ability unto that soul to be able to respond and receive His Son, Jesus Christ. See, everything requires a miracle of God, once again, beginning to end. Now, the great eternal change. The moment of new birth, everything has changed. No, we are not being changed, brothers and sisters. Please listen to the way I say this so you don't get upset. We are not being changed. That eternal change came at the moment of new birth. Our hearts are by the Holy Spirit being brought from the knowledge, which we call knowledge, which is actually ignorance, unto true knowledge, which is Christ Himself. And at that moment, we begin to walk in, function in, live, move, have our being in that eternal change that came to our soul at the moment of new birth, which is called Jesus Christ, His Son. And as our souls, by the work of the Holy Spirit, as our hearts, by the work of the Holy Spirit, bear the truth more and more, then we begin, in like manner, to bear the image of the truth more and more in our heart. And no longer do we bear the image of what is false, of ignorance. We are no longer, okay, once again, the moment of new birth, everything has changed. The eternal change has come to our soul. We are no longer dead. We are no longer among the dead. We are no longer under the slavery, the bondage of a king, of the king of the dead. The testimony was Pharaoh. But we are under the reign of the true King who is present, Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All right. Even with the children of Israel, remember this, when the Lord brought them out of Egypt, let me just change. I'm going to use this chalkboard again here in a second, but everything up to this point has been usually with this diagram. Even with the children, when the children of Israel, when the Lord brought them out from among the dead, from their condition in Egypt of death, being ruled and reigned in bondage by Pharaoh, when he brought them out through the door, brought them through the Red Sea, remember? And brought them in testimony, in type, in resurrection unto himself, though their feet were in a wilderness, and their hearts, listen, their hearts, as Stephen declared, turned back to Egypt, but Egypt wasn't there. Pharaoh wasn't there. So what did they actually turn back to? Well, at that point, it was just plain ignorance. Even though all that is going on, in Numbers chapter 23, verses 19 through 23, let us just go ahead and read that, because that's a really good verse. This is having to do with Balaam. Balaam, who was hired to curse the children of Israel. Get that? I mean, Balaam, who's hired to curse the children of Israel who are wandering in the wilderness. Look at this. This is what, and see, God won't let him do that because God sees the truth. God does not look with a natural eye. He does not hear with a natural ear. He does not perceive after the flesh. No, not by those senses. Those senses, brothers and sisters, come from the first man, Adam, the natural mind. The mind of God is eternal, right? So here's what God has Balaam declare, whether Balaam wants to or not. The Lord reigns. Here's what he declares. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Whoa. Keeps on going. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob. And we know what was going on with the children of Israel during that time. I mean, they were joining themselves to this tribe, to that tribe, to everything but the Lord. Okay. It goes on. Nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. What is God like, closing his eyes? Like, brother, sister, don't you see what's going on? No, the fact is, we don't see as God sees. See, we see the outward. We see after the flesh. We see, we judge after the seeing of the natural eye and after the hearing of the natural ear. God doesn't judge the way we judge. God doesn't see the way we see. We see and we come up with an unrighteous judgment. God looketh upon the heart. And if you are born again, the one whom God sees is his son. Remember the children of Israel, when they entered in through the door, they ate the lamb, who's a testimony of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Now, since they ate the lamb, where was the lamb then? On the inside. God looketh upon the heart. So even although this chaos and wickedness is going on the outside, God sees the truth. Hey, if all that's going on the outside, it's because they have not seen the one who's present. They still believe that Pharaoh, the king of the dead, is present, but he is not. Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords rules and is present. If you are born again, brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is present because the King is present. The King rules and reigns in his kingdom. And if you are born again, you are that kingdom wherein the King rules and reigns. If it were not so, brothers and sisters, you would have no salvation. You would have no forgiveness of sins. You would have no life. You would still be in a condition of death. But, my brothers and sisters, that is not so for the one who's born again. Remember what I said. At the moment of new birth, the eternal change came to the soul. And that is not dependent upon your knowledge of that change or your acceptance of that change. No, no. God is the only one who knows his Son. Our hearts are either submitted unto the mind of man, the natural mind, which is complete ignorance and darkness, or our hearts are submitted unto the eternal mind of God. And therefore, listen, it is not my knowledge. It is not your knowledge, because our knowledge is ignorance. God's knowledge is not. God's knowledge is his Son. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. God knows the truth. So, here we go, back to Numbers. See, all this stuff is going on, but God knows the truth. And that's why this can be declared. The Lord, he has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Why? Because the Lord his God is with him. That's why the king is with him. That's why there's the shout of a king among him, because the king is present. Though Israel sees and therefore knows and thus acknowledges not, God knows the truth. It goes on. God brings them out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox, for there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. It now must be said of Jacob and Israel. Listen to this. Oh, what God has done. But why? This is like the heavenly confession. And no one seems to understand this or know this or even act accordingly. But this does not change the truth. It doesn't. The thing is that the children of Israel during that time when they walked in the wilderness, they did not see what God hath done. They did not see how God had brought them out from a condition of death through the death of his own Son, and brought them into a condition of life through the resurrection of his own Son. They did not see that. Therefore, they could not confess, oh, what God hath done. In their hearts, in their minds, because their hearts were submitted to the natural mind, the mind of the first man, Adam. So I'll just say this. In their ignorance, in their darkness, they were confessing, oh, what God has to do. Oh, what God still has to do. Oh, what still must be done. Or, oh, even worse, oh, what I must do. No. All that comes out of ignorance. Ignorance of what God hath done. But God did not send a spirit of ignorance, my brothers and sisters. No, God has sent the spirit of truth. Yes, with purpose to lead, guide, direct, and bring unto all truth, who is the person of Jesus Christ himself, a person. That's the difference. The whole issue is we just haven't seen the truth. We haven't seen the Son. That's what it amounts to. See, during this time with the children of Israel, though they were caught up in their, listen, fantasy land, though they were caught up with their imagination, though they were caught up with their concepts, there were some within the body that were not. Moses one, Joshua another, you know, some maybe Aaron, Miriam, maybe some others, Phinehas for sure. So do you see? There were some who, by the work of the Holy Spirit, their hearts were being brought above to behold the one who is eternally present in the midst. This is God's doing, brothers and sisters. This is not our doing. Man cannot do this. And some of you may be thinking, well, wow, why isn't this truth, why isn't the truth being declared in the churches, plural, today? Because, my brothers and sisters, it requires a miracle of God. See, man can preach and teach everything and anything under the sun, but God does not. And if Christ is being declared, it's not by the mind of man. It is the eternal mind himself. Therefore, it is not my teaching. It is God's teaching. It is not my doctrine. It is God's eternal doctrine. It is not my message. It's God's very own message. It is, listen, not I, but Christ. It's always like that. Man has no ability whatsoever to do anything concerning God and that which pertains to God. Man is absolutely powerless. But we think we are greater than the Almighty. Sadly, we do. All right, going on. Let's see. Where were we? Yeah, the testimonies, King David of Jesus of Nazareth, King Solomon, the glorified Christ, the glorified seed, who is peace. Now, we can say, well, I don't feel the peace of God. Well, brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what you feel. Sorry, but that's true. I hate to be that blunt, but it's true. It's true. It doesn't matter how we feel. The Prince of Peace is present if you are born again. Therefore, listen, peace is ruling and reigning if you are born again. What is your heart submitted unto? Unto the natural mind, your ignorance? Or is our heart submitted unto the eternal mind, the truth, who is Christ? And once again, please, this requires a miracle of God. So if you want to pray something, cry out to God, Lord, turn my heart unto your Son. It's always that prayer. In fact, that's the only prayer that, well, I want to know Jesus. I want to see Jesus. That's it. That is praying according to the will of God, praying according to the truth. Jesus said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom who is the person of his Son himself, not stuff, not stuff. No, 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 no. See, man has stuff. God has his Son. See, Christians want heaven. They just don't want to find heaven in a person who is named Jesus Christ. It's just kind of like when Jesus came on the scene, Jesus of Nazareth, the Jews wanted a Messiah. They just didn't want to find that Messiah in the person of Jesus Christ. It's almost like the same today. I mean, man doesn't want Jesus. Man wants something of God. But brothers and sisters, there is nothing of God that is found outside of the person of his Son. Nothing. And if you get, listen, something of God outside of the person of his Son, then, hey, God blessed Ishmael. But Ishmael never served his eternal purpose. Ishmael never came, listen, into the inheritance of the only begotten, of the firstborn. No, he got a blessing, but it was nothing of the firstborn's blessing. No. No. All right, going on. This is kind of, you know, I'd rather be woken up by the Spirit of God than to continue sleeping in a slumber of my concept and ignorance. We can say, I don't feel the peace of God. It doesn't matter what we feel. We can say, I don't feel the peace of God. It doesn't matter what we feel. Listen, our emotions are a result of the knowledge our heart is submitted unto. Our emotions are a result of the knowledge that our heart is submitted unto. If our heart is submitted unto ignorance, then so go the emotions. The same emotions that are found in Egypt among the dead. If our hearts are submitted to by the work of the Holy Spirit. Remember, miracle of God. You can't do this. I can't do this. Unto the truth, the emotions will follow. The gratefulness, the thankfulness, the appreciation, the worship, the praise unto God in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. What always happens, our hearts are always submitted unto the natural mind, the mind of the first man, Adam, which mind is ignorance. And once again, ignorance is not a sin, it's just not good because there's no light there. The natural mind will never know. The natural mind will never come to the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding of God. The natural mind will never come to the eternal mind. It couldn't, it cannot, and it can never, will never be able to. It's impossible. It requires a miracle of God, beginning to end, a miracle of God for those who are born again, to bring our hearts from being submitted unto the natural mind, which is ignorance, to being submitted unto the eternal mind, who is Christ himself, the mind of Christ. It's always one or the other, brothers and sisters. It's not both. It's like me asking you, how many lives does a Christian have? Oh, well, some will say, well, we have one life. No, you don't. No, what you want to say, yeah, I know you want to say that, but then you'll say, but when I hear the prayers, oh God, listen, oh God, help me have peace. And I'm thinking, we have peace. The problem is, what the me we're looking at is our concept of what we believe to be our life. Well, brothers and sisters, there is no peace in our concept, because there is no life in our concept. There is no peace with our idol, because there is no life with our idol. And so we pray, Lord, help me have peace, or help me have love. All the while, the peace of God is present, whose name is Jesus Christ, in our soul. All the while, the love of God is present, who is Jesus Christ, in our soul. We just don't know who is present. Remember, what was it? Verse 23. Oh, what God has done. We have no clue what God hath done, because we have not seen the person of his Son. Now, brothers and sisters, to listen, and this is where we get it all screwed up, messed up. For us who are born again, to see the Son, the risen Son, the King ruling and reigning, God, by a work of the Holy Spirit, must draw our heart, listen, above. Because everything that is below will be seen with a natural eye, heard with a natural ear, and understood and judged with a natural mind, the mind of the first man, Adam. Ignorance, darkness, death. And we will not know. Like the Tower of Babel. They tried to reach God. Man tried to reach God by his own ability. And God says, no, I don't think so. You can't do that. If Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. I mean, look at the rich young ruler. He came by his own ability to Jesus. And guess what? He also left by his own ability from Jesus. We can do nothing. How does God see? He sees the heart. Now, reality in the moment of new birth. Jesus Christ, the only begotten, the only Son, the exalted King, the glorified King, is present in the heart, is present in the soul, the moment of new birth. Whether we know this, realize this, acknowledge this, believe this or not. This is so, my brothers and sisters, if you are born again. This was not your doing. This is, once again, oh, what God has done. The heart. Jerusalem, the city of David, the city of the great King. The heart will or will not be, the heart will, how did I write this? Sorry, I'm trying to translate this from Spanish at the same time. The heart, oh, I'll just have to rephrase it because it's not coming across in from my translation. All right. The heart will either be or not be submitted unto what governs the earth, what governs the whole land. I'll say that land. That's because that's the word I'm using, land. And I'm looking at this like the land of Canaan and Jerusalem, which is the capital of Canaan. All right. In the capital of Israel, in the capital of Canaan, the promised land. Now, King Solomon was king with the testimony of Solomon, because this is where we who are born again have been brought into a kingdom. It is the kingdom of the risen Son. King Solomon, the king over all the land, Canaan, Israel. This is in testimony, all right? It was a kingdom, it was a reign, a rule and reign of wisdom, justice, righteousness, peace, and so much more, all right? The testimony, brothers and sisters, that we read in the scriptures is true. The reality, my brothers and sisters, is greater. The issue is we do not believe the testimony. I was talking to a different brother-in-law and just mentioning how, you know, when people read the Bible today, they read it as though it's like stories. You know, just kind of, yeah, like stories, like reading science fiction. Brothers and sisters, it's not science fiction. The scriptures did not come out of the natural mind of man. No, the scriptures are the testimony of Jesus Christ declaring a person. The origin, the source of the, listen, holy scriptures are God, not man. Solomon was a real person who testified of the greater person, Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. The testimony is true. Solomon was a true king who ruled and reigned in his kingdom. The testimony is true. The reality, my brothers and sisters, is greater than the testimony. But we don't believe the testimony. That's the issue. We just don't believe the testimony. Right? The greater than Solomon is present in the soul, in the heart of the one who has been born again. Now, if a foreigner came and was converted to be an Israelite during the reign of Solomon, listen to this, just some foreigner from a different nationality came and said, hey, I want to be a Jew. I want to come to the kingdom of Solomon. I want to live in Israel. I want to live in the land. You know, listen, if that person doesn't know that Solomon is the exalted king, the glorified king, that doesn't change anything. Ignorance does not change reality. Ignorance does not change the truth. God looks upon the heart. God knows the truth. We are either knowledgeable subjects, us who are born again, we are either knowledgeable subjects of the ruling and reigning king, or we are rebellious because our hearts are submitted unto an ignorant natural mind, ignorant of the true king who is ruling and reigning. Do you remember? I think it's in Isaiah. The heavenly declaration, your God reigns. Whether you see it or not. Brothers and sisters, do we think that was just something cool or something neat that Isaiah said? No, he said this when he saw his glory. See, Isaiah, during the time of Isaiah, man, that's another time of if you look with a natural eye and you said, man, there's total iniquity in Israel and Jacob, and you know, everyone's running to and fro, and but by the work of the Holy Spirit, the heart of Isaiah is turned above and he sees the truth. He sees reality. Therefore, he declares the truth. Your God reigns. In the midst of you with your heart submitted unto ignorance, that doesn't change that your God reigns. The Lord looks upon the heart. Man doesn't. Man looks on the outward. Man knows ignorance. The Father knows the Son. The Lord looks upon the heart. God does not see as you see or as I see. God does not see as man sees. The Lord looks upon the heart. And he knows if we have been born again, if we have received salvation, if we have received forgiveness of sins, if we have received Jesus Christ. God looks at his Son, the truth. The eternal, look at this, the eternal knowledge of God the Father, not you, but Christ my Son. At some point that'll sink down. The Holy Spirit is faithful to bring our hearts in knowledge unto the truth, as he has already brought our soul in reality unto Christ at the moment of new birth. See, you don't have to have any knowledge of Jesus to be born again. No. No. Remember, it requires a miracle of God. Now, yes, God will present the gospel in some fashion or form. So, well, yeah, I guess there is some eternal knowledge being conveyed. But to know that Son in fullness is not a requirement, brothers and sisters. It's just like a little natural, like in the natural, a baby being born. Hey, that baby didn't need to know who his parents was to be born in the flesh. No, 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 no. The parent had to know what he was doing. Now, it does require a miracle of God for our heart, the heart of us who are born again, to know the salvation, the life we have received. It will always be a miracle of God, always. So the Holy Spirit is faithful to bring our heart in knowledge unto the truth, as he has brought, for us who are born again, as he has brought our soul in reality unto Christ, the moment of new birth. When we see the face of our life, the face of our salvation, the face of our forgiveness of sins, the face of our wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, the face of Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, automatically we will not have to read the following. We will not have to study the following. We will not have to understand. Well, we will understand. We will not have to go into a process of learning the following. No, but automatically we will declare, not I, but Christ lives in me. What's important and what's not important? What's not important is my wisdom. What is important is the wisdom of God that matters. That's what matters. My knowledge doesn't matter. Your knowledge doesn't matter. God's knowledge is what matters. What I believe and think doesn't matter. What God knows to be true is what matters. How I see myself in a natural mirror, or what I think myself to be, based upon my thoughts or actions, that doesn't matter. What God knows matters. God knows His Son. The great miracle of God, to walk in light, to walk in the truth, requires a miracle of God. And this miracle is when God reveals His Son in our hearts. Remember, that has been the whole issue. Oh, what God has done. No one knows what God has done because no one knows the ruling and reigning King who is present. I'm looking at a particular comment I made. And I know it had to do with the glory of God. Basically, it was like this. The church wants the world to see the glory of God. The glory of God cannot be seen except you be born again. Punto final. Period. End. The glory of God cannot be seen except one is born again. Now, when one is born again, the Spirit of God must guide the attention of our heart above unto the glory of God. Remember, not with the natural eye, not with the natural ear. You can see glorious things, you just won't see the glory of God that is found in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, listen to this, brothers and sisters. Remember, before, you know, all mankind was in a state and condition, their soul was in a state and a condition of death, God sent His own Son, who is His very glory, the express image of His person. So here is Jesus of Nazareth, who is the glory of God, walking around natural man, and no man recognized the glory of God. And yet we think we're greater than Jesus? Like the world is going to see the glory of God by or through us? No, you must be born again. The Spirit of God must direct your heart above. If you want to see the glory of God, just as Moses did, the heart must be directed above and see the Lord face to face. Now, I know you're thinking, oh, yes, Jimmy, but what about no man can see my face and live? That natural man cannot see the face of God and live. No. John on the Isle of Patmos, the book of Revelation, chapter 1. I was in the Spirit in the day of the Lord. He's already born again, brothers and sisters. I mean, how much more born again can you be? I was in the Spirit in the day of the Lord, the eternal day. And yet here's John, he says, and I heard a voice behind me, and I turned to see the voice. And he says this, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. What fell at his feet as dead? His concept of what he believed his life was, what lingering concept he still had. And Jesus comes and declares, I am the living one. I'm the only one who lives. Now, isn't that glorious? He saw the glory of God. No man, and there was not another prophet like Moses, whom the Lord spoke to Moses like a man speaks to his friend. Listen, face to face. There's the testimony. All right. No one. We will not find anything apart from or separated from the person of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Nothing. Nothing of God at all. We will not find God and nothing of God apart from the person of Jesus Christ, His Son. No one looks for him. No one searches for him. It requires a miracle of God to even consider Jesus. I mean, the writer of Hebrews says, consider him. We can't consider him except the Spirit of God performing a miracle in our heart. Remember, before we were born again, we weren't looking for him. No, we weren't. We were running all the way of the world. You know, we were fine in our condition of death that we called life. It requires a miracle of God. God, in the great pastor, went and he searched for us, our soul. He saved us and he brought us unto the eternal fold of God. This is our Savior, Jesus, the eternal pastor. Now, since being born again, no one still looks for him. No, we will look for a doctrine. We will look for a new teaching. We will look for a new message. We will look for a new song. But we will not look for him except the Father draw us, period. Requires a miracle of God. It always requires a miracle of God. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, prepares, guides, and brings our heart in knowledge unto all truth, Jesus Christ himself. Let me just write that there. Now the glory of God. Yes. Here we go. That's where the notes were. No one knew the glory of God. I like that. I'll just read it again. The glory of God. The church wants the world to see the glory of God. The glory of God was sent of God the Father and walked among men, and no one recognized him, no one knew him or recognized him as the glory of God. Nor do many believers today. We're still looking for something apart from Jesus. As I stated, brothers and sisters, nothing of God, nothing of God himself, nor that which is of God, will be found apart from Jesus' Son. Nothing. What about us? Here we go. What about us? Do we believe ourselves greater than Jesus? The glory of God, and here's our thought. Well, here's not our thought, but here's what it amounts to, and this is our thought when we think stuff like that. Well, the glory of God couldn't do it, but I can. Jesus couldn't show the world the glory of God, but I can. No, that's ignorance talking. That's ignorance thinking. That's our natural mind. Remember, to see the glory of God, you had to be born again. You have to. You have to. It is a requirement. It is a necessity. Even as Jesus said, no man can see the kingdom except he be born again. Everything requires a miracle of God. It is necessary to be born again to see the glory of God, because the glory of God is not a thing, a feeling, or an emotion. The glory of God is a person, his very own Son, Jesus Christ, the only Son, the firstborn. How can, now listen to this, because the glory of God is a person, how can we see a person who is not present? Impossible. This is why we must be born again. The moment of new birth, remember once again, the ruling and reigning King is present. And when by the work of the Holy Spirit, our hearts are directed above to behold this one who is present in the midst, we will declare the heavenly declaration, oh, what God has done. I love that. Jesus said, in that day you will know. He did not say, in that night you will know. No, he said, in that day you will know. There's only one day, brothers and sisters. That is the eternal day, who is Christ himself. When our hearts are directed unto this day that Paul says, with his heart submitted unto the eternal mind, For it is in him that we live, move, and have our being. When our hearts come in knowledge from what we call knowledge, which is ignorance, unto the eternal knowledge of God. In that day, you will know, I'm in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. He did not say in that night, in the night, no, we do not know God, nor anything of God. The night, the darkness, is our natural mind. Ignorance, the mind of the first man, Adam. Once again, ignorance is not a sin, but ignorance is not good. God saw the light that it was good. Concerning the reality of Jesus Christ, the moment of new birth, in the moment of new birth, God plants his eternal glorified seed. Remember King Solomon, in our soul. In the moment of new birth, God plants his eternal glorified seed in our soul. God the Father knows who is present. The gardener has planted his seed. The reality exceeds the testimony. It's this glorified seed, the resurrection, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the greater than Solomon. The person is greater than Jesus Christ. The person is greater than the shadow, than the type, than the shadow. The shadow would not and could not exist apart from the person. If the testimony is true, how much greater the reality of whom it testifies? And basically, brothers and sisters, what the Holy Spirit does... Whoops, I told you we were going to use our other diagram. Here we go. And those of you who are just listening to the audios, well, I'll try to explain it as though I didn't have a diagram. Our heart, of us who are born again, our heart is already turned unto that which is below, submitted unto the natural mind. Man looks on the outward. Man looks from afar. You know, man has no clue of who is present. With a natural eye, the natural mind, which is all found below. Okay, so that's how we begin, with our heart below, with our heart submitted unto the natural mind below. God presents his testimony, which is a light, which is also a type and a shadow. Where we begin to see the testimony of the one who is present. Remember? Remember Balaam? How he tried to curse Israel? I mean, we read it. I'll read it again at the end of this lesson. And God declared the truth, even through an ignorant prophet. God will declare his mind. Okay? So God presents the testimony. Here we go. Which is a light, a type and shadow. So our heart can be directed from ignorance unto a true testimony. Because that testimony is designed of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, to bring our heart unto the true light of the world. The Spirit of God uses the testimony found in the Scriptures to lift the eyes of our heart to behold the person who is present. And I'll go ahead and read the passage once again that we began with concerning Balaam, if I can find it. That way I can start Numbers chapter 23, starting with verse 19 through 23. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He is blessed and I cannot reverse it. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord, his God, is with him. And the shout of a king is among them. This is for those who are born again, brothers and sisters. This is reality. This is the eternal mind being declared in our hearing unto our hearts. God brings them out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox. There you go. He brought them out. He is present. God rules and reigns. Verse 23, for there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. It now must be said of Jacob and Israel. And here it is. Oh, what God has done. My brothers and sisters, please present all this to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth, that he may take that which he desires to take, use it for God's will, God's end, and God's purpose, that we too may confess the heavenly declaration in beholding the heavenly King, the heavenly exalted, risen King who is present. Oh, what God hath done. The Lord bless you. We'll see you in our next lesson. Amen.